Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul. Take your Bible, please, and I want you to turn to Luke chapter 8. I want to talk to you about the subject of abundance. This will be part 7 of a message. I never intended it to go this long, but God has something to say, and it's vital that I help you. And part 7, the title of this message today is Keeping It. Keeping It. I want you to say that word, those words with me, keeping it. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you ready to hear the word of the Lord today? Yes. You ready to hear God speak to you today? Yes. You believe He's going to? Yes. Okay. How many of you are ready to keep it?
Amen.
There's a difference. There's a difference. And I'm going to show you. And the Lord gave me this message. This was a totally different message than what I had planned to preach beginning last week. And He just, I mean, just dropped this in my lap. And that doesn't happen very often, where it just, boom, comes together and boom. It was a whole different message, a whole different direction. I had to throw away old notes and go with what God was teaching. Amen. Jesus was known for teaching in parables. His disciples asked Him, why do you teach in parables or earthly stories? And of course, He's relating to people who are in agricultural world, so He would tell a story about agriculture, about a farmer, about sowing and so forth. Or if He's talking to fishermen, He'd tell a story about fishermen or whatever. And so He used parables, and when His disciples said, why do you do that? He said, I do this because to you it has been given the understanding, the enlightenment of the kingdom of God. But to them, they don't have it. They hear, but they don't hear. They see, but they don't see. That's why I speak in parables. And the hope is that they'll hear something, they'll see something, and they'll keep it. And if they keep it, it'll benefit them, and it'll bring about a change in their life and in this earth. And Jesus said, there's one parable out of all the parables that Jesus taught. He said, there's one parable that's the most important of all parables. Do you know what it is? The parable of the sower and the soils. He said, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand any parables. That's how important it is. And you remember, we don't need to read it, but you remember there were four types of soil that the same seed was put in. There was the path, or the place of busyness where people were walking all the time. Some seed was sown on a path, a busy place. And that seed did not produce like it was intended to produce, because people were so busy. That they didn't, but they weren't able to consume that word, that one word that God gave them. They were easily distracted. And Satan uses distraction, busyness, to keep you from the main attraction. And so Satan's distraction is to keep you from the main attraction, which is a word that God is trying to get to you. Whether if it's you read the Bible or through preaching. Most of you will hear the Word of God, not necessarily through the reading of the Word, which you should, but if you're kind of new at this, probably about the only Word of God you're going to get is via a preacher. And so you may watch TV and listen to somebody on TV that's a famous preacher, and you everybody's kind of got their favorite preacher they listen to. Be careful with that, that you don't fall in love with the preacher who is just a messenger. It's no different from this. My wife put these things together a few weeks ago, make this look good and fall and pretty and everything. And the preacher is nothing more than this. We don't come in here and say, man, look at that beautiful box. No, it's to display the flowers. It's to display this. The preacher is nothing more than a vase. It's an instrument. So you may have your favorite preacher. It may be T.D. Jakes. It may be this or that or whoever on TV. And that's all good and well. But remember, that is just the container to get the message to you. Don't fall in love with the container. Fall in love with the message that God is getting it to. So I don't know how God's getting his message to you. But today, he's trying to get a message through this ugly old container. I ain't ugly. I'm actually beautiful. But I'm not more beautiful than the message. And I don't want to be. I don't want to take the glory for me that is to be given to you via the message, the Word of God. And so anyway, so there was this, the parable of the soil and the soils. There's, this, you know, the four, there's four types of soil. Everybody say four. One was a busy pathway and the seed wasn't productive there. The next one was shallow. It received the word quickly when it heard it. It said, I hear God in that. That's great. But it was shallow. It did not put down roots. And when the sun came up, it scorched it. It didn't have any root. It couldn't keep the word. The first one was so busy that the birds swooped down and they just grabbed the seed and ran off with it. And even with the shallow ground, because there's no root, it just gets scorched by the sun. And then there was a third type of ground that said the seed was put on this ground. It was thorny. The thorns came up around it, which are the cares of this life, and they choked out the word. Your life is just so overwhelmed with problems and issues and things you got to fix, things you got to do, that it grows up and it chokes the word. You don't get the benefit of the word. And only one ground, one out of every four, is good ground. And I can't tell by looking right now, but according to the Bible, only one out of every four of you is good ground. I'm not speaking down to you. But look to your right and to your left right now. One out of every, three more people on both sides of you, one out of every four of you is good ground. And you might as well be the one to claim I'm the good ground. I don't know about y'all, but today I'm the good ground. I'm benefiting. I'm not wasting my time here. I'm not come here to be entertained. I'm come here to receive. And so the good soil is described in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Look at it with me on the screen. Let's say it together. But the seed on good ground are those who, having heard the word, they heard God speaking to them personally in this word, keep it. Say it with me. Keep it in an honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. So I ask you at the very beginning, how many of you are ready to hear the word of the Lord today? And you all said, yeah. Then I ask you, how many are ready to keep it? Well, we're going to see about that. I said something last week. It may have offended some folks, and I didn't mean to offend you, but sometimes the word of God is offensive. And I can't be concerned about your feelings. When I said most of the church worldwide, and probably the majority, I hate to say that, of Grace Tabernacle, most people are shallow. They're shallow. They don't have any roots. And the truth is about to come out when the dark times hit our country and hit our world in the days to come. When persecution arises and affliction comes, because you have the word. You don't realize you're getting persecuted and afflicted because you have the word. Anything that Satan can do to drive you from the word, hanging on to the word, believing the word, trusting the word, he will do. And so if persecution works, he'll use it. If affliction works, he'll use it. And it says that many will fall away from the faith. So they had to be in the faith at one time.
Amen.
They had to be in the faith. Now they fall away from the faith because they're shallow. They don't have any roots. When difficult times come, they'll fall away. We just had a little test when the government shut down most churches, and we were shut down for a few weeks because of the COVID thing. I'm not saying it's not real. Yeah, COVID's real. We got sick from it. We were sick and went through it. But when the government comes in and starts to tell you by order of the federal government, you have to get vaccinated. And we heard a lot of this week, so I'm repeating some of the things I heard this week that rung my bell. And I said, I got to go back and tell our folks the truth as well. And part of that was that we're not against vaccinations. If you want to get vaccinated, and if you've been vaccinated, that's your choice. And that is that's what America's about, freedom of choice. And if you want to wear a mask, that's okay. No one here is ever going to condemn you. Everybody's health condition is different. We're not against vaccinations, and we're not against anybody wearing a mask or not wearing a mask or all that kind of stuff. But what we stand against is we stand against the government making it mandatory. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't buy. You can't sell. You can't travel. You can't go to another country unless you've been vaccinated. Now, that we're against because that violates America's freedom. It violates your freedom. And the hypocrites that use the excuse for abortion, saying it's my body, my choice, it also works for vaccinations. It's my body, my choice, and I don't want any government coming in saying I have to put something foreign in my body that I don't want to, or I can't buy, sell, or travel. That's what we're against, ladies and gentlemen. So that's where we're going to have to stand firm, and in the days ahead, we're going to be tested. And if you look in the Bible, and I don't have time to preach it now, I'd be preaching another man's message I heard this week, but it's powerful. It talks about a precursor. This is a precursor to the day in Revelation 13 where the enemy, the Antichrist, will actually take a control of the large population of the world, and no one will be able to buy, sell, or trade, and probably travel without having a mark that's mandatory by government. And if you can't stand up now and to the government and say, I'm not against vaccinations, glad you have them. I'm not against masks. I'm glad you have them. I think it's a good idea some places and some people's health. But what I am against is you as a government making me have a vaccination against my will. I have freedom of choice in America, and I am not going to budge from that. And a lot of people ain't going to like that. That's just too bad. That's too bad. But a lot of people are shallow in their faith. And when persecution arises, because they're shallow, they'll be like sheep going to the slaughter. They'll just, it's crowd control, the herd mentality. They'll go with the crowd. That's what's coming in the days ahead. Now let me get back to where I'm supposed to be preaching. Thank you. Well, praise God. When you come under the Word of God, whether it's on television or reading your Bible or via a preacher, there are three things you have to do. First, you have to hear it. Some of you ought to move closer to the front. You'd hear better. Second, you have to listen. Husbands, your wife ever say to you, you're not listening to me? John, you're shaking your head. Yeah, my wife said, I heard her, but I wasn't listening. You have to listen to the Word of God. But then, most important, you have to keep it. Because Satan comes to church, he is more faithful than you are.
That's right.
He comes to church. And he comes to church quickly, because if you get the word, even though you're sitting on the front row and you got a word from God, something quickened in your heart. The Holy Spirit said, oh, that's for you. That's for you. You grab that word. Satan comes to steal it.
There it goes.
See, you weren't hanging on to it, brother. You got to keep it. You got to keep it.
Amen.
You got to keep the word. Not everything I'm saying, and not everything I'm saying you should write down, but there'll be something that you hear and you know the Lord is speaking to you through something I've said, through something that I'm saying, not because it's me, because I'm just a pot, I'm just a container, but God is speaking through me. How can you hear except you have a preacher? I'm a preacher. I'm giving you what I believe God has given to me. I've spent time with the Lord, and I listen to Him, and I write down what I believe He wants me to tell you. I come in, and I say half of the stuff that I believe that He's given me in my heart. Because if I told you everything, we'd be here all day. And then you have got to be a good keeper. But the majority of you are not. I'm not condemning you. This the Lord made this clear to me. 34 times, Google says, the Bible says, write this down. Now, I didn't mean for you to write this down. I meant Google says that the Bible says 34 times to write this down. God is saying in His Word at least 34 times, there are things that are important that you need to write down. You need to write them down. You say, well, it's already written down. No, yeah, but there are things you need to write down. Your memory is not as good as you think it is. And I love the quote. Someone said, the faintest ink is stronger than the strongest memory. Writing something down is a way you can keep it and go back to it later. You have a record. We went to a lawyer's office one day. Renee Abreu and I for some church business, and the lawyer said something that I got. I won't forget it because I wrote it down. I kept it. I heard God speaking to me through a lawyer. And the lawyer said, if it's not written, it didn't happen. And if you don't write it down,
sorry,
it's gone. It's gone. Satan comes to church, and as soon as the word is spoken, he's got to do something. He's got to distract you. Watch this person over here. Look at this person over here. Look at that person's dress. Look at that person over here. Look at that nice couple over there. And get you distracted, and you won't keep it. And this is especially true as you get older. You got to work at keeping what God wants you to have. I read this in a book. I love this phrase and I use it often, and I believe it's so true. When men begin to listen, God speaks. I'm not talking down to anybody, not condemning anybody. I'm not saying this is necessarily the reason, but some of you say, when we've done exercises before, you know, ask God a question, and you'll say, I don't hear God say anything to me. Well, I've had those times too, I understand. But if that's your constant excuse, I don't ever hear God talking to me, it may be because God knows you're not going to listen. He's already talking to you right now. And if you don't take it seriously, or you just think it's a man up here running his mouth and saying some things, you're not going to hear God in it. You're not listening. You're hearing, but you're not listening. God, He wants to talk to you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. Don't you think He wants to talk to you? So when men begin to listen, that's when God speaks. He knows now you're ready. You're ready to listen. So I ask you, are you ready to listen? I mean, ask yourself that. Sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're tired, your body's tired, you stayed up late, you didn't sleep good or whatever. God understands that. So he probably won't talk to you during that time because you won't hear him. But there'll be other times, especially when you come into a church setting, God will speak to you through a song. God will speak to you through a brother or sister before you leave the church. May not even be through the sermon, but some way, somehow, God will communicate to you if you're listening. And this is what Jesus tried to make clear. I think it's already been done for most. I wanted it to be kind of a surprise like right now, but be it as it may, here it is. When you came in the door, the ushers gave you a pad of paper, a notebook, and a pen. If any of you don't have one, would you just raise your hands right now? Our ushers would be glad to give you one. There's several, okay, that got through the... Okay, hang on, and they'll get to you. They're scurrying back there right now. They're going to give you a pad of paper and a pen. I want to tell you why this is important. This is yours. This is the church's gift to you. Here's Charlie down the front and right there in the middle. Mike needs one. Yeah, and all, yeah, I see all these hands. They're coming to you. Just be patient. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, they're hustling. When I was preparing this message last week, the Lord spoke to my heart this message. And I kind of said in my heart back to God, yeah, I know. I mean, I've been a preacher, Lord, for 35 years. I know most people don't get it. I know most people, they hear the word and they'll say, oh, that's good preaching. But before nightfall, they couldn't tell you what I preached on. That's the majority of people. I know that, Lord. I know they're shallow. I know they don't listen. They don't hear clearly the voice of the Lord. And then he said this to me, even though I was acknowledging, yeah, God, I hear, I see, understand. He said to me, last, on the 21st, whatever day it was, he said to me, teach them how to listen. Come on. He put it on me. I didn't ask for that assignment. He said, teach them how to listen. Well, God, I got all these people. How am I going to teach them? He said, teach them how to listen. And I said, okay, how? And then the first thing, and it's a simple thing. This ain't going to make it work, but it's a start. Get everybody a notepad and a pen. Help them to realize that when you come to church, you must bring something to keep the Word of God in. To keep it. Because Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy from you. He's been doing it all your life. And he's stolen more Word from you than you could ever remember. But if you will start to write something down that you believe God is speaking to you. Here's the date. Here's the time, here's the place, whatever. Here's what I believe God spoke to me. You can go back to it later and open it up, and God will reveal more to you because you're faithful to keep what he's given to you. But if you're not faithful to keep what he's given to you, no more will be given. Even what you have will be taken from you. Well, that's a word to me. There's hardly any place I go. I keep a notepad, a notebook with me, and I keep a red pen and a black pen in there, and I write down in the black pen what I want to say to God, not necessarily like a journal. Sometimes it's a conversation, and I write down in red what I believe he's saying back to me. And I go back in every day. I go back over the previous day. What did you say to me? Some days I have a lot, some days I don't have a lot. But if I got something, it's something I need to meditate on and see if he wants to talk to me further about that. Or is an application, is there something I need to do? Is there somebody I need to go visit, somebody I need to call? Sometimes it's just like that. Yeah, you need to call so-and-so. you need to minister to so-and-so. Now, the context of what I'm about to show you is important. But first, let's look at Luke 8:18. I just alluded to it. Let's say it out loud together because you've got to get this. Read it together with me now. Let's go. For whoever has, to him will be given more. And whoever has not, from him will be taken what you think you have. Satan is sly. He has been stealing you blind and you have not seen it. It's God's will that nobody here be shallow ever again. From this day forward, you start moving forward. You're uprooting the shallow ground and you're going to become good ground. How? By one, doing one simple thing from this day forward, if you'll do this, make a commitment to God, a promise to God. Lord, whatever you give me, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to keep it. As simple as that. And I'll go back and look at it and feed on it. Because if you don't, what you have has already been stolen. The context of this particular scripture goes on right after that, and Jesus was preaching to a mass group of people when he said this. He says, whoever has, to him more will be given. If you have it, if you keep it, I'll give you more. But what you don't keep will be taken from you. So he preached this to a whole big crowd of people, maybe thousands, I don't know. And then right after that, some of his disciples came to him and said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are here, and they're trying to get through the crowd because they want to see you. And these are the words of Jesus in Luke 8:21. Look at what he says. Say it with me. My mother and my brother are these who hear the word of God and do it or keep it. That was his mother and his brothers. They wanted to get to him and see him. They hadn't seen him for a while. And he said, no, my mother and my brothers are the ones who hear the word and they keep it. All you need is one word from God. You're going through a trial. You're going through a hardship. You're going through a difficulty. You're going through trouble. Everybody here on this planet, while you're here as a Christian, you're going to go through trouble. Some of it will be persecution and affliction because you have the word from God. And the enemy is trying to talk you out of it or convince you you don't have the word. And some of it's just because you belong to the Lord and the enemy just likes to harass you and cause you all kinds of trouble. And so all you need is one word from God. You know that one word from God could save your life? One word from God could not only maybe save your life, it could save somebody else's life. It could be today that God would give somebody here a word somehow, some way. The Holy Spirit would quicken a scripture, quicken a word and a song or a prophetic word or something that's said. And it's just quickened to you. It's made alive to you in your spirit. It just makes your spirit want to jump and you don't understand it, but you write it down. And you say, God, I don't understand it. He says, I know you don't understand it, but keep it. Because it's not for now, it's for later. And you're going to need this. And when you need it, you'll understand why I spoke it to you. Has anybody ever got a word from God like that, that was strange to you? You didn't understand it, didn't make any sense to you. I don't know why you're showing me this. I don't know why I dreamed this. I don't know why I heard this from you, God. But then later on, it's a life-giving word that you needed. Could save your life, could actually save somebody else's life. But if today you kind of casually are there, you let it go, it's gone. And you'll come back to God one day complaining, why didn't you speak to me? And God was saying, why weren't you listening? I did speak to you. I did speak to you. One word from God. So Satan comes quickly in Mark chapter 4, verse 4, Mark 4, 4. He sowed seed on a path and the birds came quickly. Everybody say quickly. And they devoured it. They quickly come after the word. Don't raise your hand. I'm not trying to condemn anybody again, but this is a loving, probably a subtle rebuke from the Lord to help us get out of the passiveness that we're in when we are under the word of God, to get us more aggressive about keeping the word. And I believe this is what the Lord wants to do. How many of you could tell me right now the main scripture I used last week to preach? You can raise your hand. If you know it, I won't call on you. Don't worry. But if you know it, you could tell me right now, off the top of your head, without looking at notes, you could tell me, yeah, what was the scripture the pastor preached to me last week? Maybe one. See what I mean? I'm not condemning you, but I'm trying to point out something to you. That's why you write things down. It was Mark chapter 8. And it was about the man who was blind. And Jesus spit in his eye. And he didn't see clearly. And then Jesus touched his eyes again. Then he saw clearly. I'm asking you a question. How many of you see clearly now? We don't see clearly the first time. But the second time, you ought to see clearly.
Amen. Amen.
You may not have understood what I'm talking to you about today. But now you ought to be getting a little bit clearer what the Lord's trying to do in your life. Because you are so precious. So precious to Him. He is tired of seeing the enemy come in this church week after week after. You're so faithful to be here. You come and you tithe and you're faithful and you serve and you sit under the anointed word of God. And he sees me being faithful, giving you the word that God gives to me. And I pour out my heart and God pours out his heart to you. And yet before you leave, the enemy's stolen it. And God is tired of that. He's not angry at you. He's angry at the devil. But he's trying today to speak through this preacher to say, learn to keep the word. It's that important. It could save your life. It could save somebody else's life. When God is speaking to you, it's not to entertain you. He's trying to help you. But you've got to wake up. This is serious, serious business. It's life or death. No, it's life or death. How you handle the word is life or death. And if you're casual and passive and you, it's death to you. And you'll not hear God. You'll not see what he's been trying to show you. But today, God wants to change that. He wants to change it. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. The scripture talks about being shallow. It says, some seed fell on rocky ground. This is where the majority of the church is. Rocky ground. Where it did not have much soil. There was no depth. You got to feed them milk. They can't have meat. They're shallow. And so the seed that's sown, because it's alive, it soon springs up. There's life in the word of God. There's life in the seed. And quickly they hear it. You heard it last Sunday. Oh, yeah, when I remind you, oh, yeah, we heard it. You heard it. But you didn't keep it. And so it's already stolen from you. And you're not able to extract all the nutrients and the personal stuff that God wants you to get out of it. You're not able to get it. It's like guzzling a big old drink of water. You guzzle it down, it's gone through. You had it, It's gone. They receive it with gladness. You come to church faithful every Sunday. You're faithful to listen to me and put up with me and all my shenanigans here and jumping over pews or whatever I try to do to make you listen and look and hear the word. And you're faithful to laugh and faithful to encourage. And I appreciate all of that. That's wonderful. But if you don't have any root in you, it's a waste of time. You might as well went fishing. You might as well went to the beach. It didn't profit you. It's possible that you go to church, it not profit you. You're just putting in your time. Well, God, I went to church. No depth of soil. So the sun scorches it. The sun scorching it means the hot persecution that's about to come upon the earth, upon the churches, upon the believers. Because it was shallow, and when affliction and persecution rises, because of the word, I receive persecution. I receive affliction, a lot of it, from the enemy. Not because I'm something great, but because God's given me revelation of the word. Man, the things he teaches me, things he says to me, things he shows me, I can't wait to tell other people. And that's why the enemy comes to persecute me, afflict me, cause all kinds of trouble in my life, discourage you, because of the word. Anything to make him fall away, anything to make him quit, anything to make him give up, anything to keep him from going to church again, anything to keep him from going back to that church. Somebody takes your parking spot. Somebody looks at you crosswise. Somebody gets you upset, whatever. I ain't going to that church anymore. I've heard that so many times, it just about makes me want to spit. Shallow. 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 Don't be that. Get some roots. Put some roots down. If God calls you to this church or any church that he calls you to, get some roots down. Because trials are coming. Persecution's coming. Affliction is coming to you in that church because of the word. Put some roots down. When I was in boot camp, I'll never forget. I don't know how it happened, but we were running somewhere. We make you run everywhere. And don't they, Stephen Jr.? They make you run everywhere. He was a sergeant major in the Marine Corps. They make you run everywhere. And somewhere I turned my ankle over in this boot. And man, I thought I broke my ankle. And yet we had to keep running. And man, I hurt. I was in pain like you would not believe. I thought I broke my ankle. I don't know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And when we had a moment to stop, I tightened that lace tighter as I could to make it back. And I got back to the barracks that night, and I'm thinking I may have to go to the infirmary. But if I go to the infirmary, they're probably going to keep me for a while, and I won't be able to graduate with my platoon, and I'm going to have to start boot camp all over again. And I said, hell no. I don't care if it broke. I'm going to run. And I had to push through. And the next couple of days, man, that thing hurt, but I prayed. I prayed, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. And I tightened that shoelace. I put an extra sock in that boot, and it hurt every time I ran. But I finally got over there. I had to push through it. I had to push through some hardship. I had to push through some pain. I had to push through some trouble. I had to push through some difficulty because I didn't want to have to start over again. There's sometimes you got to push through the pain. You got to push through the trouble. You got to push through the difficulty. If you got a word from God, you hang on to that word.
Amen.
Don't let go of that word. What has God told you lately? What is God speaking into your life? What are you hearing from God? I ask people that question a lot, and I'm kind of surprised that most of the time people say, oh, I don't know. Maybe you're not listening. I'm not trying to hurt you. It's not for everybody here, but maybe you're not listening. You can't tell me that God is not talking. He's talking. You really got to listen into the various ways he speaks to you. Your spirit man on the inside, if you're born again, will quicken, be quickened and made alive when you hear something from God. It could be a phrase in a song, could be a word, could be anything. And but it'll quicken. Your spirit will go, oh, it's alive. Your spirit man picks up on that when you're born again. And that's a word that God wants you to keep. So God said to me, as clear as I know how to hear God, for you, he told me, teach them how to listen. Amen. It's just like when he told the disciples, when he said, you know, he was done teaching to 5,000 or more people in one day. And the disciples said, hey, you know, you need to send them away. It's getting dark and they got to go find something to eat. And Jesus said, well, you feed them. Uh-huh. What? That's kind of how I felt when the Lord said to me, teach them how to listen. I don't know how to teach them how to listen, God. But he told me to do that. That's the purpose of this message. That's where it all came from. It changed the whole direction of everything else. Teach them how to listen because it must be important. Sunday mornings, you ought to give the Lord your best. Wednesday nights, if you're at all possible, you ought to come Wednesday nights to teaching here on Wednesday nights. Sunday mornings to extra Bible school, you ought to come to that. Thursdays, if you're available. If you're retired and you got time, you got to make the Word of God the priority in your life. I want to hear. I can't hear enough. I want to hear what God has to say to me. But especially Sunday morning, you shouldn't stay up late Saturday night so you come in and your body's tired. It's hard to receive or hear from God when you're physically tired. One time when I went away for a day to be totally alone with the Lord, I went to a Lake Yale and I just give God 24 hours just to be alone with him because I felt like he said to do that. And so I got into this room and I got my Bible and a few books that I had with me and my journal out and I said, now, Lord, what's the first thing you want me to do? And the first thing he spoke into my heart was, you need to take a nap because I was tired. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap, but not in church.
That's right.
Do that at home. Do that before you get here so that you can be rested and refreshed to pick up on what the Lord wants to say to you. Are you understanding?
Amen.
Teach them how to listen to me. Jesus promised in John, book of John, he said, there's a harvest for people. Some people are going to get a harvest of 30, some people are going to get a harvest of 60, and some people will get a harvest of 100-fold from my word. There's a harvest that God wants you to get. He wants you to extract all the nutrients out of that one word that he gives to you. He wants you to get all the nutrients, all the nourishment, all the life-giving strength it'll give to your spirit and your soul and your body if you will feed on it. Wednesday nights, I'm going to start teaching this Wednesday night about how your soul affects your body. In other words, your soul is intended to prosper with the Word of God that God gives you, and if it does, it can actually drive out sickness and disease. We'll talk about that this Wednesday night. I hope you'll come to that. But let me finish up. Here's one scripture I want to point out to you. Proverbs 4, verse 20. God is speaking through the book of Proverbs, book of wisdom. And God, you can hear God's voice in this speaking to us. He says, my son, attend. And that word attend means to prick the ears. It'd be like me going up behind you and flicking you on the ear. You ever have anybody do that in school? Just pow, hit you in the ear, and you know, this is what he's saying. My son, prick the ear. Cause yourself to pay attention. Hear my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Things you hear over and over. The sayings of Jesus, like, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Something he said over and over again. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now say this part with me in bold. For they are Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that? Literally? God says the word, if you attend to it, will actually make you healthy. Physically. Do you believe it or you don't? Put that scripture back up there, please, for a moment. It's health. No, the other one. Health to all your flesh, Proverbs. There you go. It's life to those who find him, and it's health to all their flesh. One of the things, Richard, I was impressed with was some of the people we met out there at the conference this past week, was how many older people, when we met them, they were in their 80s, and to look at them, I said, there ain't no way. They were healthy. Now, they'd been through stuff. Some of them had cancer before, heart attacks, things like that. But they were healthy, especially that one lady that I hope gets to come to this church and preach. She was 80-something years old. Man, I thought she was like maybe 70. When she told me that, I was about to say, that's a spirit of lying on you. There ain't no way. She was beautiful and vibrant. Man, she didn't have as many miles on her face as I do. I've had a lot of mileage. But because that's true. The word of God is health to all their flesh. Amen. We're going to talk a little about that Wednesday night. So if you want to know more about it, come get some health food, okay? Paul had trouble. We all have troubles in this life. Anybody here not have any troubles whatsoever? Just raise your hand. Because we want you to come up and lead the service and impart to us what you have. We all had trouble. Paul said he had all kinds of troubles. He said we have this treasure from God, the word of God, in an earthen vessel, so that the power will be from God and not from ourselves. We have trouble, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed sometimes. We don't know what to do. We don't know what the solution is, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed, that the life of Jesus might be expressed through our what? Our bodies. You have life-giving seed that's been planted inside of you, that's waiting to bear fruit. A seed has in it everything that it has need of in abundance. Inside an apple seed are thousands, if not millions, of potential apples. Inside an apple seed are branches, is a root system, are leaves. Everything that seed needs to be, what God has sent it forth to do, is all contained in a little tiny seed. And Peter said, everything you need for life and godliness in this life has already been put inside of you. And it's activated when you keep it. You meditate on it, talk to God about it, and then you speak it. You want to know what's in your heart? Listen to your words for the last 24 hours. If it's been complaining, grumbling, and negative and everything, then I'm telling you, you're not in the Spirit. You can't be negative and be in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, if you're walking in faith, you're walking in love, you will not be negative. I don't care how bad the circumstances are, you'll always find a way to be positive. Why? Because we know all things work together somehow for good for them to love God and call according to His purpose. I don't know how, I don't understand. Luke 8:15, sometimes you bear fruit with patience. Bear fruit with patience. I'm going to say something I hadn't prepared to say. It just came to me this morning, and it was for me personally about a situation. But I think it's also maybe for somebody here. The Lord spoke to my heart very clearly this morning, just kind of off the chart, wasn't seeing where this was coming from. And I asked the Lord specifically, asked Him, if he had any guidance, specific guidance, anything else he wanted to say to me today. And he said this to me, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." I said, "Well, yeah, Lord, I know that verse. Thank you for reminding me, but I know that. Thank you for that." So why did he tell me that? I don't know. I don't know today. But apparently, it may be some of my understanding may sometimes get in the way of trusting God. So what did I do with that word? I wrote it down. I kept it. I may not need it till next week. I may not need it till tomorrow. But I tell you what, Satan is not going to be able to come steal this word because I got a record of it. I don't lean in my own understanding about that. I don't know, but I wrote it down. When you hear something from God, you write it down. You were given that little notebook and a pen as an illustration, and I hope you'll keep it and you can get another kind, whatever you want. But when you come to church, you ought to have something that you can keep what you believe God's speaking to you. If you don't, you've already heard the evidence is clear from God's word, then what you have will be taken from you. Amen. 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 Write it down. Now, I know some of you said, "Well, we already knew that." Praise God. Praise God. Did you have something you want to share? Okay. What's your name?
Brenda.
Brenda. Come on up here. What's on your heart, honey? Let me hear. What's on your heart? I'm going to hold this because I don't let go of control. I'm a control freak.
He gave me something to say.
Here, hold on.
That I've heard here.
Okay, go ahead.
Personally for me.
Turn around that way so they can see you. Okay, go ahead.
So
he gave you something to say that you heard personally.
In one of your services and today.
Okay.
I've never done this before. So
well, good, that even makes it more special.
And it probably won't. I mean, it's not me. This
okay.
is not me. But
right ahead,
my sister gave me this book. I've been writing my notes in it. It's falling apart, and I keep trying to fix it while I'm here. And God told me, leave it alone. That's not your focus. Listen and watch and learn. So I still had problems with it, and I was going to fix it. I went to the office supply store, going to fix it there. I got distracted. I was going to put a ribbon through it. Then I realized I'm not supposed to fix it. I'm supposed to ignore the fact that it's falling apart and fix it when I have all my notes in it. But listen, get what I need to. Don't let this book distract me because it's not the book. I need to write on it. So now I have a new book and a new pen. That's another thing.
All right.
While I'm writing, I've had a handful of pens just break down on me in the middle. So again, that's to take me away from where I need to be. So now I have two new ones, but this one's going to probably mean the most because he told me to leave it alone from breaking because what's in it is more
okay.
important and keep my focus where it needs to be.
Amen. See, you're not only hearing, you're listening, and now you're keeping.
And I'm shaking. So.
And you know what's going to happen as a result of this and this day? I can boldly declare and prophesy to you right now, more is going to be given to you. More, 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 more than possibly contain.
He's given me away so much. I can't, my imagination is not that strong.
That's exactly right. But if you're faithful with little, he gives you more. So you can just expect. In fact, you probably need to learn how to write with both hands. And write in both of those, so because it's going to be overwhelming.
I left this book in church one Sunday, and I was fretting trying to figure out where it was. So I put my address label on it because I'm not losing it. But I mean, that's what I mean.
There's a keeper.
The devil is doing things to try to distract all of us.
Yeah.
And he told me to just let it be broken, leave it alone.
Leave it alone. Praise God. You're okay. God bless you, honey. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all stand. Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. Come here, Miss Lee. Yeah, sure.
Amen. I praise God. I just want to share with Pastor that a couple of weeks ago, I belonged to this group called RAW, Real Anointed Women, and we've been meeting on Zoom. And for the last few weeks, we had a lady to come in and give us coaching on journaling. And it was on journaling God's way. Not our way, but God's way. For some reason, I know that's for me. Because I wasn't that in tune to it. I wrote a few things, and even Ms. Marber note with me writing my book to get it going. I had been writing on my losses, and that helped me get to where she could take over from there. But I said, well, why do we need this, you know, this journal? But it was the same thing, that when God tells you something, Satan come and take it away. But if you write it down, you can go back. And he'll reinforce at the time. And I was just telling Joe, I said, you know, I pulled out a book. I mean, it was way back in the early 80s. And it hit me. Wow. Write it down. Wow. So this is a confirmation. I don't know about anybody else. But we don't want to miss what God is telling us. It's going to save our life and save us into eternity with the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. So, you got something to say too? Okay. Wow. Okay. You're listening. Praise God.
You've been talking about this for a couple weeks, and I'm like trying to get your attention, and so now I know I have to come up. Well, it was several months ago when I didn't really want to come to church. I wanted a Sunday off. Something about that didn't seem right. So what I did do was, I didn't do the 8:30, so this was quite a while ago. I didn't do the 8:30, I came, you know, and did the 10 and with the worship. And when I was driving home and I was about to pull into where I live, I was waiting for, I said, Lord, thank you for the worship. And he said, thank you for going. And I'm like, whoa, Lord, you really talked to me. I was like, whoa. And I pull in, and I just drove a little bit, and I heard him say, I will if you'll listen.
Oh, wow. Wow. Amen. Wow. Important.
Would you just bow your heads for a moment? Would you make sure your body's in subjection to your spirit? What I mean, your body may be tired. But don't let your body's voice tell you be louder than allowing the soul to hear the Spirit of God. Just bow your head, close your eyes, and ask God a question. This question right here. I'm going to start off with an easy one. And then just listen with your mind, with your heart. God, say it with me. God, would you tell me one thing about me? Say it out loud. Would you tell me one thing about me that you really like? Now listen. Try to come up with something, just listen. And if you believe you got something from the Lord, write it down. Just thank Him for it. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. The Christian life is not trying to be a moral person. The Christian life is letting God live His life through you. And you have to learn to listen and be Spirit-led. Father, thank you. I declare today is a day of change. For those who are hungry will be fed. Those who are thirsty will receive your life-giving water. Thank you.
Thank you,
Lord. You're speaking. You're transmitting. Help your people to have their receivers turned on. Just to hear. It's not hard. It's not for special people. It's for you. God loves you so much. He wants you to hear. He wants you to hear. He just wants you to hear him. Amen. And when you're done, just look up here for a moment.
I asked the Lord after I was done asking for me. I said, Lord, what do you like most about this church? Would you like to know what he said? Yeah. It is their hunger for more.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And you are hungry for more. You wouldn't come to this church if you didn't. And if you're faithful with what he gives you, more will be given. More will be given. Praise God. Altar workers, you want to come up and stand with me? If anybody needs prayer for healing in their body, anybody needs prayer for salvation, anybody needs prayer for anything whatsoever, it's our joy to be a voice for the Lord to pray for you. You need comfort, whatever's going on in your life. Remember, Jesus. Jesus. That's who you look to. Not to man. Look to Jesus. He will help you. Let's lift up your hands. Father, I just thank you for this wonderful body of Christ. I thank you for giving me the message. I pray that it be received in good ground. They hear it. They listen to it. And they keep it from this day forward. In Jesus' name, may the Lord bless you and keep you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. In Jesus' name. If it's your first time here today, please stop by and say hello. I'd love to see you. I'll be out here by the front door. Amen. God bless you.
I would like to make an announcement to the membership. There is a box on the information desk that we have placed there for Appreciation Sunday. So if you write a love letter, a love token, you can go and place it in that box. Appreciation Sunday is the 25th of this month. Thank you.